This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:08. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. And first up, KL is the third most overworked city in the world. I'm just going to say right off the bat, we want to hear from you. Do you agree? Do you not? Let us know. In the meantime, these are the details of the survey.
So this is a study conducted by Kesey, which is an American security solutions company. It's a study of 100 cities. And as you said, Lynn, we're number three. Dubai is number one. Number two is Hong Kong. And yeah, so we've actually risen in the ranks as well. So in 2021, we were eighth on the list. In 2020, we were fourth. So yes, currently, we are the third most overworked city in the 100 cities surveyed. Now, if you're curious about who else made that list, I'm just going to run down the list because I think it paints a pretty clear picture. Dubai is number one, Hong Kong number two, KL number three, and then Singapore, Montevideo, Tokyo, Bangkok, Cape Town, Lisbon, and Budapest. I must say, I was actually pretty shocked that we moved above Singapore on that list.
Me too. And Singapore actually was the best city to work from home from. That was what they topped, so they still beat us somewhere. But yeah, I'm a little surprised that we were ahead of them as well. I think it's worth also looking at what exactly the data points were that they used to measure this, because overworked can encompass a lot of things. And it covered a range of indicators to measure the most and least overworked cities. So some of the major data points that I think are most interesting to us in this context. Work intensity, that's measured by how many days a person works versus the amount of days they take off, unemployment rates, inflation, the amount of overworked population, city livability, that's a big one, considering how many conversations have been coming up about whether or not KL is livable these days. And that includes things like safety, outdoor spaces, happiness, culture, social services, quality healthcare, affordable cost of living, time off, things like that. And so, yeah, I think looked at in that context, where KL places is quite interesting and quite telling. Now, you may wonder, so if we are third most overworked, if Dubai is the most overworked, who are the cities that are doing well? So it will surprise, I think, absolutely nobody to know that they are mostly European. So Oslo was first. They scored 100% show-offs. And then that was followed by Bern and Helsinki.
Yeah, 99% each, if you're curious. I don't even know what being underworked means, or at least overworked. I don't think they're saying they're underworked. Yeah, let's not be those people who think that only two versions of that exist. No, but I think also it's worth bringing up that often the question of people being overworked cannot be looked at separately from what people make, because these things are relative, right? The feeling of being overworked, the feeling of not being valued or putting in too much effort often comes hand in hand with people feeling like they're not being paid enough for the work they do. And at least if you look at the list of the countries that have emerged as the least overworked, there are also cities that are known for being pretty equitable when it comes to income levels. Also countries that have pretty decent social security nets. I mean, it is important to look at these sorts of issues in a larger context and not just in a vacuum.
If I may, I'd also like to just make a point/observation. And this is based on all the conversations that we have with all of you on the show, because every time we talk about work or burnout or something in that vein, even working from home, one of the common refrains that comes up has always been, how can Malaysians claim that when we're lazy or when our work ethic isn't great, we have all these public holidays, we don't work as much as other people around the world. And, you know, I just find it interesting that on the one hand, we can hold that opinion. And it's a commonly said opinion. We get messages like that all the time when we cover work-based stories. But at the same time, we're coming in as well as third most overworked city. And also, if you stop a person on the street and just say to them, hi, how are you feeling today? You know, odds are pretty good that they will tell you about being tired that they're feeling overworked. And so I just find it interesting that we are at this point where we're both those things, where many people think that Malaysians aren't productive enough, don't work enough days, but at the same time, we are consistently in the top 10 of most overworked cities. I mean, we might fluctuate. This year's a high point. But generally speaking, we've been in that top 10 for 3 years now, at least according to this survey. So we want to hear from you. Are you overworked and underpaid? This is the question. Or do you not agree with the survey? Either way, let us know. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Dr. Jeffrey Williams, economist at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters, BFM 89.9.
It is 5:14 and you are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about overwork, specifically the fact that in a new survey, KL came up as the third most overworked city in the world, behind Dubai and Hong Kong, ahead of Singapore. And we wanted to hear from you. Do you agree with this? Are you overworked and underpaid? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. And joining us now to talk about this is Dr. Jeffrey Williams, economist at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology. Jeffrey, thanks for speaking with us.
Hello. Hi.
All right. So where did you make of where KL sits on this list of most overworked cities in the world?
I wasn't so surprised. Were you? I don't know, but I wasn't quite as surprised as perhaps some people might be. I've been in Malaysia for 18 years now, and I've lived most of my time in the center of KL. Recently, I moved out. I moved out to Sungai Long, which is quite a way outside. And it's made me understand that actually living inside KL, working inside KL is very, very stressful. And it is, there is a very high level of intensity in the work that's done. And it's just getting increasingly difficult to get around the city. And this makes it, I think, the whole feel, the whole look and feel of working in the center of KL worse than it has been in the past. So if you'd have asked me 18 years ago, I would have been a little bit more surprised. But now I feel a little less surprised.
In general, how would you describe the work culture we have in KL?
I think badly organized is how I would describe it. Disempowered for workers. They don't really have very much choice. I think it's very much focused on the number of hours that you're working. And it's not so much focused on the quality of the work or your deliverables. How much you're actually producing and the productivity of your time. And that to me sort of says it's really quite old fashioned in many cases. Of course, it's not always true. I mean, there are some really quite progressive modern employers in Malaysia, and they're not just in KL, by the way, but many of them tend to be in KL because they tend to be the bigger companies. But I think as a general rule, the approach to employment is very much boss knows best, and you work the number of hours is what's important, and you get in on time and you leave on time. And if you get in 5 minutes late or you leave 5 minutes early or you take 10 minutes extra for lunch, you're going to get into trouble. So it's very much focused on hours of work and rather than productivity and quality of work. And that's something I think which is holding a lot of people back. It's holding a lot of companies back in terms of growth, in terms of shifting into the so-called future of work. And we still have this boss knows best.
So I wanted to talk about some of the data points used in the survey, because they include things like work intensity, city livability, quality of healthcare, cost of living, time off. And I wanted to look at them more closely, particularly work intensity and time off, because the common perception, I think, is that we have so many public holidays in Malaysia. Our work intensity anyway isn't as demanding as countries that have surpassed us in the economy, like Japan or South Korea. How would you respond to that?
Well, we do have a relatively large number of holidays, and people do tend to take annual leave and coincide with the national holidays to try to get as much time off as possible. But perhaps all that means is that when you are in work, you're being forced to work longer, particularly as the holiday is approaching. And unfortunately, because we're looking at these, you know, this insistence on hours that you're spending, it's not about balance. I mean, I'm not suggesting for a moment we have fewer holidays. No, I want to live here for a little bit longer for the next 18 years. If I say to a lady, we should cut the public holidays, I think I would be already expelled. But I'm not suggesting we should cut back on the number of holidays, but I am sort of suggest, I think perhaps we need to look at the balance of the time that we're using when we are in work. And I think we're not focused too much on that.
I found this interesting. How does city livability tie up to or link to how overworked we might be feeling?
I think because it relates quite closely to behavioral issues, in particular stress levels. How long it takes you to get to work is a big impact on how you feel when you arrive in the workplace and whether you can come in and you can settle down and get on with your daily tasks, or whether you feel immediately overwhelmed the moment you arrive, which makes the whole idea of doing work and the intensity of doing work feel very much more of a burden. And that's partly because of the stress that you have had getting to work in the first place. Now, we don't all need to be at work at the same time, right? And this idea of flexible working, flexi hours, people going in at different times actually makes a huge amount of sense. It is an incredible amount of sense for people not to be on the road, for example, at the same time in the morning. For me, it takes 2 hours for me to get to work sometimes in the morning and then sometimes 2 hours to get back. And if I do that every day for 5 days, that's 20 hours, which is basically half a working week sitting in the car listening to BFM. That's what I do. So it's very productive and very entertaining, but it's not, I would say, it's not particularly productive for my university. But we spend a lot of time doing that, and it makes us very stressed when we get into the workplace, wherever it might be. We don't feel that we can settle in and be productive straight away. So that's how the livability issue. And the other end of that, of course, is that if we're living in the center of town and it's very expensive, and we don't feel that, you know, our salaries are covering those costs, it does demotivate us when we're in work and doing our work. And all of this adds to the behavioral response in terms of how we understand work intensity and how we understand, are we overworked or not?
In talking about this, and there has been a fair amount of conversation around it, a point that's come up quite a bit has been comparing the minimum and average salaries of the countries in the top 4 or 5. Yes, in the top 4 or 5 that we are sharing. And Malaysia doesn't really stack up there. How does the fact that Malaysia's salary is perceived to be lower, thought to be lower, contribute to that feeling of being overworked?
I think it makes people feel undervalued. And feeling undervalued is a very important element in feeling overworked. One might go to work and work a normal working day, but if you feel that at the end of it, you're not getting very much back, you know, and you look at your pay at the end of the month, and it's just not very high for what you have done. This low pay environment really does affect people's motivation. From an economics perspective, we fully understand that pay is one of the most important motivators. But from a more behavioral perspective, we also know that pay is actually very important, but it's not the only motivator. And there are very many other issues. It's not a single variate thing. It's not just a matter of paying someone more or paying someone less, and that's going to affect the quality or the intensity or the amount of work that they do. There are very many other issues as well. But low pay is a very big issue. And Malaysia does have a low pay mentality, particularly amongst employers. Clearly not amongst employees, but certainly amongst employers.
And why is it important then to also contextualize this conversation about overwork, not just with salary, but also the cost of living in different countries?
Because it's a question of the value of your time. In economics, we often consider the choice of going to work is a question of working or taking leisure. When we mean leisure, it doesn't mean going on holiday. It means doing something that you want to do that you're not necessarily paid for. And this is an important part of the decision to go to work at all. And we know that many people in Malaysia, in the Malaysian workforce or the work population of working age, don't go to work. There's nearly a third of people who are in that age group don't go to work. And they're making an active choice that it's just not worth their while. And part of that is because of the value of what they're doing and also the return in terms of the income. So all of these things have to be taken into consideration collectively in order for us to understand the employment relationship.
So if we look at the other list, that of the least overworked cities, Oslo, that's a combination of Oslo being on top, actually. So Oslo tops the list. Talk to us about what work-life balance looks like in the Norwegian context and how it compares to Malaysia.
I think in Scandinavia in particular, and Scandinavia is normal, many countries in Scandinavia have a similar attitude to life, which is to say that they do very much value time out of work. They put a value on it. It's not that, you know, the use of their time is not simply measured in terms of dollars and cents or euros and cents or pounds and pence, whatever it is. It is actually measured in terms of the value that you are getting. And part of this value is measured in terms of, for example, the time that you're spending with your family, the time that you're spending with your friends, the time that you're spending in leisure activities and in fitness activities, all this idea of wellness and balance. And they have had this as part of their approach to life for a very long time, particularly after the Second World War, when we were developing social protection and social welfare infrastructure. And they have very much taken the view that working is not everything. And what that means is that when they are in work, they try to be very much more productive. They use their time more productively. One thing that characterizes people in Malaysia, and I'm sure that everybody understands this, is that there isn't There isn't a particularly strict approach to time. So in Europe, there is. And the idea of wasting time and the idea of wasting my time or wasting your time is much more important, because that's time I could be spending with my family, for example. And that's why they want to do things very much more efficiently, very much more according to schedules. And if you breach the schedule, there is a much heavier social consequence to that. There's a sort of social opprobrium to that. Whereas here in Malaysia, if people don't keep to schedules, it's normal, isn't it? It's just straight. And no one worries. And that's wonderful in many ways. But for the Europeans, and particularly the Scandinavians, they have a better use of their time.
So how can we address this, really, being third on a list of most overworked countries? How do we get lower on that threshold?
I think the first thing we have to do is recognize it's a problem. It is a problem. You know, I mean, this isn't a particularly scientific survey, I have to say, but it is consistent and with increasing anecdotal evidence and increasing evidence from other sources that salaries in Malaysia are lower than they should be, that the number of hours in work are higher than they should be, that productivity is lower than it should be, that people aren't happy in work. And all of this has an effect on growth potential. So the first thing is to take it seriously, although this particular survey is must be viewed in the context of many other data points. We must take it seriously because it has an effect on, from an economics perspective, it has an effect on economic growth. In the terms of recovery from the pandemic, it's going to have an effect on how quickly we recover. It has an effect on public health. It has an effect on personal health as well. So all of these things are costly. They do actually have an economic value beyond the cash terms.
Jeffrey, thank you so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
That was Dr. Jeffrey Williams, economist at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology, speaking to us really about being overworked and underpaid, or at least that is what a new survey is saying. I mean, well, actually, these are facts, but what a new survey is saying is that KL is the third most overworked city in the world, and we want to hear from you. Do you agree with that? Are you overworked and underpaid? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We have so many messages coming in. I think we have time for a few, just as a teaser.
Well, Lok comments on that city livability aspect and says they probably include the daily 2.5 hours of being stuck in a jam as work.
Well, I think that there is something to that in that we've been talking so much about the traffic jams in KL lately. And the fact of the matter is we wouldn't be on the roads at that time if we didn't have to, but for work. And so thinking about it in that context, I do think is actually important. And the 2.5 hours, it sounds like it should be a joke. And yet that's the reality for most people these days.
No, and I think it matters a lot. The state of mind that you are when you get into work, how much effort you feel you've expended, and all of those definitely contribute to feeling overworked.
Yvonne says, I'm not so much overworked as I am underpaid, which then effectively makes me overworked. And I think, you know, that kind of correlation was what we were trying to get at in the context of our conversation, because that you can't kind of separate this from salary. All of which to say, we want to hear from you. Well, are you overworked and underpaid? Let us know. You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.